I want to speak to you tonight about the majesty of God. In a few weeks, as we start a Master Club, and some of our kids will be coming back that we've had, and some new ones coming in. One of the things I find in our day and age is that there are very few people who really have an idea of who God is. And they think of God and they just don't really have a clue. And oftentimes we as God's people don't really stop and consider who God is. And sometimes we'll make little remarks about God is great, but we don't really stop and really see that in our hearts and our lives as we ought to. But God is great. I like this word, majestic. The majesty of God. If you would turn with me to the book of Psalm, chapter number 93. The term majesty is used several times throughout the Word of God. Most often, it is in relationship to our Heavenly Father, to God. From time to time, we'll find that it has to deal with a king or some person, but that is rare in the Word of God. Psalm chapter 93, and let's read these five verses together. Psalm 93 says, "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty." Yes, you can read that with me. Let's start over again. "The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this great psalm as it speaks of your majesty. We pray tonight, O God, that you might be seen in our hearts and our lives, elevated. God, tonight may we have a more exalted idea of you than ever before, and that we might find strength in you as never before. For as testified by many tonight, weary from the day, tired from the events, exhausted from that which has been in our lives. We pray that you might bring that kind of courage and rest and strength into each heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. When Webster came to this word, majesty, he said this: greatness of appearance. I like this word, dignity. Grandeur. Dignity of aspect of manner, the quality or state of a person or thing which inspires awe or reverence in the beholder. The majesty of God. Verse number one, "The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with" what? Majesty. Majesty. Majestic God he is. The book of Job, chapter 37, verse 22 says, "Fair weather cometh out of the north, with God is terrible majesty." Now don't be bewildered by the word terrible there, but it's referring to the wondrousness of his majestic being. In chapter 40, in verse number 10, he says, "Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty." The psalmist in chapter 29 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." Again in chapter 96 and verse 6, "Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." Do you notice that majesty and power or strength seem to go together as we see these verses of Scripture? Chapter 104, verse number 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." Chapter 145, verse 5 says, "I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." Again in that chapter, in verse 12, he says, to make known to the sons of man his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. I want to jump up to the New Testament, skipping many verses that use this, but listen to this in chapter number 1 of 2 Peter, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. A reference to our Savior, who is, by the way, deity. We see the majesty of God so many places, do we not? And how we have a great opportunity, as we see in these different areas, to rehearse them to those round about us who don't know who God is. For instance, we see His majesty in creation. There was a preacher back in the 18th or 19th century. His name was G.D. Watson. I want to read something he said, and I quote, "We see how perfectly God works in creation and how nicely He dovetails part with part, wedding strength to beauty, mountain with valley, zones with climates, and products with seasons. He so beautifully fits the fin to the sea, the wing to the air, the eye to light, the ear to pulsations of the atmosphere, and each joint to its socket, that the whole creation becomes a glass transparency, revealing the matchless wisdom of God. It shows omnipresence in every atom and discloses the momentary operation of His infinite will in every successive instant through thousands of years without a pause, without a blunder or a single trace of His forgetting anything, from the insect in a quivering leaf to the giant orbit of suns and stellar systems." I don't know about you, but from time to time as I begin to look around at God's creation, I am simply in marvelous awe. 2 weeks ago, for the very first time in my life, I drove across, or actually I did most of the riding, across the state of Pennsylvania. How many have ever been to Pennsylvania? I found Pennsylvania to be one of the most beautiful states in our nation. I have been and seen the great Rocky Mountains. I've driven through much of the West and the mountainous regions there. These mountains are not like the Rocky Mountains. But oh, what beauty lies there. The trees and the beauty of it all, the green. And as we go over mountain after mountain and see all that God had made, it causes me to stop and consider how great God is. To be able to look out across the vast ocean. I remember the first time as we had left Portland, Oregon, and we were headed to the ocean. Never had seen the ocean before. Is anybody like that? Has anybody here never seen the ocean before? Oh my, if you can have the experience that I had. And we come over this mountain, I think, oh, I'd see another mountain. I think, one more mountain, I'm going to see it. We come up over that mountain only to see another mountain. And I think, oh, there's just one more mountain. That's all I can see there. And I come up over that mountain and there was another one. After a while, I begin to think God had moved it. And after all the anticipation, and probably 10, maybe 12 mountains thinking this. And by the way, we're not talking about, you know, 2 or 3 minutes from one mountain to the next. We're talking, you know, some time involved here because we're talking several mountains. And finally, we came up over the last mountain. And I was thinking, oh, we're going to see another mountain. And instead, there it was. And honestly, my breath was taken away as I looked out and saw the Pacific Ocean for the first time in my life. I wonder what our astronauts have thought as they've been up in space and look back to the Earth and then perhaps look out another window and see the vastness of the universe and the stars as they're twinkling there in the darkened sky. What a God we have as we consider His creation. And to think God created all of that, making Him bigger and larger and more grand than all that He has made. But we see Him in His creation. Amen? But we also not only see Him in His creation, we see Him in Scripture. We pick up the Word of God and we are simply in awe as we take hold of this Bible that we call the Holy Bible. As we take these 66 books that God used some 40 different men over a period of approximately 1,500 years, three different continents if I remember correctly, and put all this together, and we cannot find a conflict anywhere. We find that it dovetails together, and we can compare one scripture with another, and we can see all of this as the hand of God as He expresses Himself to us. It's an infallible compilation and record of history, of biographies, precepts and parables and promises and poems and punishment and persons and places. And oh, what a wonderful book we have here as it pronounces all the wonders and the beauties of our God. Its verbs are descriptive of all the actions of God. Things that take place in heaven and things that take place in hell. And all of them are so arranged as they do not contain one single error. There's not even one useless statement. I remember after reading through several chapters of Names, and normally I kind of skim across names, you have to forgive me of that. And as I was looking at those names and name after name, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and here we had begat and begat and so-and-so. I mean, on and on and on and on. And I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, why, God, is all of these names in here? What's the purpose of all of this? And there is great purpose in it, especially for the Jew, and especially as we find its propheticness, as we find the line of Christ. But here's what came to my heart and my mind. God has my name recorded in heaven. And He wants me to understand that He does have record of it, because He has put down on record for you and me all of these names. Some over 300 or 3,000 different names, if I remember correctly, of characters that are listed throughout the Word of God. And you and I have this beautiful book called the Bible. And what does it do? It shows us God. We can look at God's great creation, but we cannot understand His love without His Word, without His expression of it. We cannot understand His desire and His will simply by looking at creation, but we can take the Word of God and we can find these kinds of things. But I believe we also see the majesty of God, not only in creation and not only in the Scriptures, but let me use this word, in His providences. As God leads us day by day, moment by moment, the late Dr. Gordon said this, and I quote, "God never makes half a providence any more than man makes half a pair of scissors," end quote. Everything God does has purpose in it. And in His providence, God accomplishes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him. Think about this. There's a mother one night, she's crying because laying next to her is a little baby that she knows is not hers. She knows that the woman she's been rooming with has also a little baby, and she took that baby that hers died and laid it in her arms while she was sleeping, and took up the dead baby and put it in her arms and took her live baby and put it in her own. And here's a woman that is grieving because now her friend has stolen her baby and she don't know what to do. But in the same night, God gives a dream to a man, a young man by the name of Solomon. And in that dream, Solomon asks God for wisdom that he might lead his people. And God says, "I will give you wisdom." And these two women come before Solomon the following day, and they bring this little baby. And in his wisdom that God has given him, he is able to decipher who the real mother is and to give her her baby back. Is that the providence of God? I think not. It'd be anything else. As we look to the Word of God, I think of Isaiah, who is weeping over the fact he's got a depraved heart. And yet, while he is weeping over his depraved heart, the seraphim are singing, "Holy, holy, holy." And it's the holiness of God that through His magnificent grace, He can impart to you and to me, Mindy. I don't understand it, but it's grace. And oh, how thankful I am for grace that God can give to me His holiness as He takes my sin upon Himself on the cross of Calvary, all in the providence of God. I think about a Jacob who's wandering across the deserts of Syria, headed to the old homeland which now we would call Iraq, in the area of Babylon. And as he's wandering that direction, unbeknownst to him, God has waiting for him a Rebecca. And at the very instant he comes to the well, she comes to that same well and there to offer to him and later to become his wife. I think about Mordecai, who was about to be hung. And the very night before the request was to be made for his hanging, we find Ahasuerus up all night. He can't sleep, and finally he says, "Bring me the book of records." I mean, if anything can put you to sleep, it would be the law books. Amen. And so he says, "Come and read those." But he gets interested in the story of Mordecai because he has read to him what Mordecai had done for him previously. And we find the next day that as the wicked one comes, old Haman, to seek for the death of Mordecai, Ahasuerus is there and he says to him, "What could I do for somebody who deserves honor?" And he thinks to himself, "Who deserves more honor than me? Well, let him take a horse and lead him throughout the land, throughout the city, and let somebody proclaim how great this fellow is." And Ahasuerus says, "Go get a horse, put my robe over his back, and put Mordecai on his back, and you lead him through town, tell how great he is." Oh, the providence of God as we see Him working throughout the ages. Amen. Oh, we look at the works of God. Listen to this in the book of Job chapter 5, verse number 8. He says, "I would seek unto God, and to God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable." Now, what did he say? He does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Now, there's a colon there. And next, this is what he says, "Who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields." Now, think about that a moment. Job has just described to you and I a great event. It's raining. We say, what's so miraculous about rain? Why is the Bible speaking of that? But let's think for just a moment. There's that little farmer there in the land of Israel. And as he's put his crop in the field and it now needs water, he looks to the west just as you and I do. And he looks to the west because he's hoping to see the cloud bank as the waters have evaporated into those clouds and with those winds blowing across Israel that they might drop the rain. You say, what's so marvelous about that? Well, let's stop and think about it for a moment. How did all that water from the Mediterranean get to that little farmer's wheat field anyway? Well, the clouds carried it, no big deal. Wait a minute. Have you ever stopped and considered? 1 square mile, that's 640 acres. You go out into our farmlands, you drive down, and almost every mile you're going to find there's an intersection. Most of Iowa is, what, cut off into square miles. 640 acres in that square mile. If you were to get 1 inch of rain tonight in 1 square mile, there would be 27,878,400 cubic feet of water. You say, what's that mean? Well, let's put it in gallons. 206 million gallons of water. Plus 300,000 more. Is that a little bit of water? Hey, now let's stop and weigh it. And it comes up to 1,650,501,280 pounds of water. 1.6 trillion pounds of water. Now, does this begin to sound a little more miraculous? Oh, that water came out of the Mediterranean Sea. And so water that comes out of the Mediterranean Sea, it's what kind of water? Salt water. But salt water will do what to our plants? It'll kill them. But in the process of evaporation, only the water evaporates. The salt stays in the sea. And in that process of evaporation, the salt is taken away. And it goes up and forms these clouds. And so this water that weighs 1.6 trillion pounds is now up in the air, lighter than the air. God did this. Amen. And that floats over the land. Now something else has to take place. It's called condensation. Now this gets interesting. Condensation. You know how water condenses? It's got to have a little tiny piece of dust. Somewhere between 1/10,000 of a centimeter and 1/100,000 of a centimeter. Is that little? And so we find this little dinky particle of dust, and that water then can condense or cling to that and come back into water. But that is mighty small. If it drops out of the air like that, it will evaporate it before it hits the ground. Oh, by the way, if all that water up there and God says, whoop, there it goes, can you imagine what all that water is going to do to the wheat? It destroys it. And so those little tiny droplets, they have to combine with other little tiny droplets that they might get the right size, what we call a drop of rain. And those are held together, oh, this is a whole other study, by an electrical force. It's mind-boggling. That's our God. He made all of that, that it might accomplish its goal to come to the earth and to bring us water. That's our God. We see Him in His great works. Let me give you this one. I believe it's heard in His wonderful voice. Consider this for a moment and don't get too far out of whack on this one. But listen to this in the book of Psalms. Chapter 29, verse 4 says, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The thunderings are His." How many have ever had thunder scare the fire out of you? Do you know what will hurt you? Lightning will hurt you. But it's the thunder that brings some fear, doesn't it? I lived across the street from a lady that, wonderful lady. She knew the Lord. And she went home to be with the Lord here a few years back. Not too long before that, I was talking to her. She worked at one of our funeral homes. And I said to her, you remember when your son and I were little and the thunderstorms would come, what you would do? And she says, yeah. She said, I'd run into my bed and take my pedal and put it over my head because it scared the fire out of me. And I said, do you still? And she says, sometimes. It's got that effect, doesn't it? The Word of God often likens the voice of God to thunder. Because when we stop and think about God, it ought to bring a fear of Him to us. Not a fear of running, but a fear of His awesomeness. The book of Job He says He directeth it under the whole heaven, and His lightning under the ends of the earth. After the voice roareth, He thundereth with the voice of His excellency, and He will not stay them when His voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with His voice. Great things doeth He, which He cannot comprehend. Now this is interesting. Found in John chapter number 12, and verse number 29. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. The people heard it as a thunder. All hear the voice of God. When the thunder claps, is that His voice? Perhaps. It can bring a thought of awesomeness, can it not? Our God's a mighty God. He's majestic. How we ought to thank God that we have a God as we do. And somehow, you and I, as we stop and behold Him, how we can then portray Him unto others. We have a world don't know who He is. They think all that God is one who is there to condemn us and to make life miserable for us. When indeed God created everything for us to enjoy. God created us to be creatures in His perfect and marvelous will, enjoying He and all of creation. We know that our sin messed that up. But God, in spite of our sin, still loved us. In spite of who we are, God made a way and a provision for you and me that we might become saved. That we might have that fellowship restored back with Him. That we might see who He is and recognize His greatness and wonder and beauty. And we can fall in love with it all over again. That's our God. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Are you experiencing His majesty? He wants us to. Father, tonight, work in our hearts. Lord, we're needy people. We get so intent upon ourselves and the affairs of our lives. But, oh God, that we might be able to just step back and see You. Lord, we might behold Your greatness, Your splendor, Your majesty. Oh God, help us with that day after day as we go through the turmoils of life. That we can just somehow stop and see who You are. And then, oh God, that we might be able to relate that to a lost world who have nowhere to look, who have no God to rely upon. Oh God, I pray that You would use us in this area. Bless and work on our lives. We thank You for this evening we've had together. And we pray that You might bless our fellowship, strengthen us one with another and with Yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.